Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are here on Football Full Circle, live with you all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. This is a college football preview episode. Week number 8 is on the horizon. A Saturday slate, Joe, that is going to be sensational. Now, here's the interesting thing, Lisi, as you understand it, of course, about CFB Week 8. Could it live up to the expectation that we had for last Saturday in Week 7? Certainly not. But if there were 6 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts last week, there are still 5 for an encore this Saturday, Joe. So the great thing about college football is that each and every week is impactful. Each and every week is meaningful. Each and every week is special. I can't wait to break it down for Week 8 with you.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I mean, college football is where it's at in terms of, you know, really making the stretch run, right? We're right in the midway point of the college football season, and this is what it's all about in terms of just kicking it up a notch. Now, again, we're not going to live up to last week, but the games that we do have will dictate conference odds, right, in conference championships. Texas and Oklahoma State, UCLA and Oregon, those are 2 games that we're going to be front and center stage, and that's what it's all about in terms of this coming weekend in college football. I'm chomping at the bit, and I think we're going to see some upsets this coming Saturday.
There might be some upsets on the horizon. So, Lisi, let's start with what might feel like an upset based on the odds, but not in the rankings and not based on the overall records. I think the biggest game of this weekend, it's pretty fair to say, Joe Lisi, in Eugene, inside Autzen Stadium, between 10th-ranked Oregon and 9th-ranked UCLA. The Bruins, one of 9 remaining unbeaten teams left in college football, the only perfect team left in the Pac-12, taking on an Oregon team, Joe, that has been perfect since that opening week dud and disaster in Atlanta against Georgia. In that game, Lisi, the Ducks only scored 3 points, only were able to muster up a field goal in a 49-3 throttling at the hands of the reigning national champs. Since then, Oregon has gone on a 5-game winning streak, and in all 5 of those victories, Joe, this Oregon offense is picking it up. They've scored at least 41 points, averaging 45 points per game in this 5-game win streak, and they bring all of that to the table as they host UCLA as a 6.5-point favorite. Let's start with that spread, Joe. From a matchup perspective, should the line be near a touchdown, or do you expect this game to be much more competitive?
It's tough. I think that UCLA starts fast on the road, and I think they start, and I think they win this ball game, you know, convincingly. And what I mean by that is by 7 to 10 points. I really think they're the better team. That's not to take away from the dominance at home by Oregon and how Bo Nix has stepped up after week 1. But at the end of the day, we talked about it on TMA. Who have they beaten? They beat BYU, that slipped in recent weeks. Eastern Washington, Arizona, Wazoo. I mean, you want to say average teams at best? They haven't beat an elite team. So why not UCLA? And UCLA should have beaten Oregon last year if, in fact, DTR doesn't get hurt on the last drive. They were right there with Garber's throwing the key pick with 30 seconds left. So I'm sticking to my guns. I think UCLA wins it convincingly.
Joe, so far this year, UCLA has been booked as an underdog twice in two huge Pac-12 games, both of them coming at home inside the Rose Bowl, but they have won both of those games outright against conference competition. This is a tougher test to go into Autzen Stadium, and there's a lot of East Coast bias, right? We don't watch all that much of Pac-12 football. I'm saying we, as the general we, of course, Joe Lisi and myself, watch a lot of every league in college football. But Autzen Stadium, Joe, is up there with the toughest places to play in all of college football. The decibel level in Eugene, how anticipated this matchup is going to be, it is going to be a raucous environment, and some bad weather, some rain is expected on Saturday. So, Joe, when you have to go to Oregon, when you have to go to Eugene, that is a substantial home field advantage, but UCLA has been booked as the dog, and UCLA continues to over-exceed expectations. Frankly, Joe, just from the spread perspective here, that line is too large. Will UCLA win outright? That's one question. Do I think they have a physical enough presence in a ground game up there with the best in the country to cover this number of 6.5? Absolutely so.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, which side are you buying into more? Are you buying in to Oregon? You're buying into UCLA? I think they have the better coach, the better quarterback, and the better offense and defensive lines, and that's what wins ball games. But you have to take a stand. So we'll see how it plays out. I'd be shocked if Oregon blows out UCLA. Then I'd have to reassess the Ducks after week number 8.
And Joe, I still think I have some of those priors in my head because you mentioned the strength of competition since that time, since the bounce back from Georgia. They did come back to beat Washington State, but Wazoo was up by 2 scores, 34-22, with under 7 minutes remaining in that fourth quarter. And then Oregon put together a comeback, sealed it with a pick six to win that football game. We'll look at some more numbers and what this all means for the Pac-12 in just a little bit here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back here on Football Full Circle. NFL week number 7 starts tonight on a Thursday in Glendale, Arizona, between the Cardinals and the Saints. Right now, Joe Lisi, Arizona booked as a 2.5-point home favorite. That total stands at 43.5. Lisi, let's start with the sides here because both teams disappointing to start off this season. Both New Orleans and Arizona just 2-4 straight up to begin this season. And Lisi, the Cards have lost 8 straight games at home, yet are favored to buck that trend this evening. How do you approach Thursday night football between New Orleans and Arizona from that side perspective?
Well, from the side, I have to believe that Arizona's going to step up. I mean, at the end of the day, if they can't step up tonight, when are they going to step up? And you tell me. I mean, D-Hop is back in that lineup. They traded for Robbie Anderson. Whether he plays tonight or not is insignificant. You have Rondale Moore. You have supposedly one of the most athletic quarterbacks in all the NFL in Kyler Murray. And the running game, where has that been over the past couple of weeks? But at the end of the day, they have to start fast. They have a beaten-down team in New Orleans that really puts up their points in the second half of ball games, right? We talked about it over the course of the week. At the end of the day, Arizona needs to start fast. I mean, every week it seems like Kyler Murray's under 100 yards and he doesn't turn it on until the second half. Hopefully with D-Hop, I think they step up fast playing at home. I think they win this ball game. Put it this way, if they don't and they don't score at least 24 points, I put Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat.
There's a lot that goes into the contract conversation with Cliff Kingsbury, having signed that extension prior to last year. But I do hear your point, Joe. And Cliff Kingsbury saying earlier this week that he would forego calling plays on the offensive side of the football if it was for the betterment of the team. That is never a recipe for success when the head coach you hired, because he's an offensive genius, supposedly, is willing to give up play calling because it is hurting his football team. Then why is he there? Because he's not a good clock manager, that is for sure. So when we look at this game right now, Joe, I'm glad you brought up the return of DeAndre Hopkins. It is going to be a key component of tonight's football game. It feels like a while ago now, Joe, doesn't it, that Arizona started off last year a perfect 7-0, the last undefeated team in the National Football League in 2021. And DeAndre Hopkins was healthy for all of those first 7 games. Then on a short week, on a Thursday night, he gets banged up against the Packers, only played plays three more games the rest of the year through the ending portion of October all the way through early January when the regular season came to a close. He is that important for this Cardinals team. They are 16-10 with him on the field since he was acquired from Houston back at the start of the 2020 season, and just 5-8 without him there, Joe. He is a huge component of this offense. He is Kyler Murray's favorite target, and now that Hollywood Brown is injured for a couple of months, Joe, DeAndre Hopkins will be even more of a focus for Kyler with his passing yards prop of 242.5, and DeAndre Hopkins' receiving yards prop is 62.5.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think D-Hop gets his. I think Kyler goes over, you know, his passing total as well. We saw Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase challenge New Orleans over the top last week. In the second half of the ballgame, they were unstoppable. I expect the same for Arizona. Why not run a little hurry up? If Kyler Murray is not in rhythm, why not do something outside the box? Run tempo. Utilize a two-minute offense just to get him into short to intermediate throws so that way he's on time. And then all of a sudden, then you could take the shot over the top. But they have to get other playmakers involved. And I like over his total. Again, I've been on his total the past couple of weeks. He's gotten it in the last half of ball games. We need to get it in the first half. I think if he does and he starts fast, there should be no doubt that both Hopkins and Murray go over their total. The over comes in and Arizona wins this ball game handily.
Listen, this is DeAndre Hopkins' first game this year. Like I mentioned, he only played three games from pretty much this point of last season till the end of the year because of injury. I get all of that. But this is not a guy who missed six games because of injury and is returning. He violated the PED policy in the National Football League and served his six-game suspension to start this season. But he's been around the team facility for the last couple of weeks. DeAndre Hopkins is ready to go. Joe, I am heavily invested in DeAndre Hopkins tonight. I love the over on his receiving yards prop. It's up by 2 yards from where it was just yesterday. 5.5 is his total receptions prop, and the over has plus money. He only went over 5.5, Joe, three times in his fully seven healthy games last year. But in 2020, his first year with Kyler, in the 16 regular season games, DeAndre Hopkins over in 11 of those 16. I think having him back will be such a point of emphasis for this offense that they will focus on getting DeAndre Hopkins the football as much as possible. And frankly, the Saints are without Marshon Lattimore. The Saints are banged up defensively and offensively and have the fourth worst scoring defense in the National Football League right now. So, yes, they can stop DeAndre Hopkins, and I know they know of this focal point just as much as we are describing it right now, Joe, but I am all in on DeAndre Hopkins. You want one more area for you, Joe? You want one more area? How about a 7-1 hit on DeAndre Hopkins to be the first touchdown scorer tonight? That might sound crazy, not because it's D-Hop's first game back, not because Nuke missed the first 6 weeks of this season serving a suspension, but because Arizona is the worst first quarter scoring offense in all of the NFL. Joe, they have scored 3 points in total in their first six first quarters of this year. They are averaging 0.5 points per game in the first 15 minutes. That changes tonight. DeAndre Hopkins, first touchdown scorer, plus 700. Joe, I have never felt so strongly about a plus money bet.
Really? All right. Yeah. Well, I might put it in, too. I think Rondale Moore can eat, too, with D-Hop obviously being in the lineup. I don't know if he scores the first touchdown, but he's over 47.5. I think is very doable in this ballgame. We'll see. I'd be shocked if New Orleans wins, because if New Orleans wins with that many injuries on the defensive side of the ball, then they have a lot more answers to, and questions to answer for both Kyler and the head coach in terms of Cliff Kingsbury. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think Arizona should roll easy in this ballgame, but only time will tell.
Joe, it's such an interesting thing injury-wise for that Saints offense and really all around their team. Both quarterbacks do not have an injury designation entering this week. Both Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston were not listed on the injury report prior to this Thursday night football showdown. However, Andy Dalton is the only quarterback with passing yards props available for New Orleans. Dennis Allen yesterday at practice did not name a starter, but it seems like Andy Dalton will get the nod. But who is he going to throw the football to? Michael Thomas is out. Jarvis Landry is out. Chris Olave, the rookie wideout out of Ohio State, does return. But a lot of the focus, Joe, of course, offensively is going to be Alvin Kamara, who has been so big this year in both the ground game and in the receiving game. The Saints have run it for more than 200 yards each of the past 2 weeks, and Alvin Kamara's rushing yards prop is 63.5. It's not just him. It's also, of course, Taysom Hill and other features of that offense. But for Alvin Kamara and the Saints to have a chance tonight, it has to be Kamara that has a huge, huge portion of this offensive production. Joe, quickly on the total, 43.5. Six Thursday night football games this year, five of them under, 19 primetime games this year, 13 of them under. Which way do you lean from a points perspective this evening?
Yeah, I'm going over. I think if you're going to get an over, it happens tonight. We talked about the beaten up secondary. We talked about the offensive explosiveness. Yep. And we talk about a team that's inconsistent in Arizona that really needs to start fast. I mean, I really don't think they can just afford to start slow. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm going over the total 43.5.
Yes, the Cardinals not a good first quarter scoring offense, or really a good first half scoring offense. So if you were going to back New Orleans, maybe that's your look in that first half number. But Arizona still averages 19 points per game. And again, they've scored a total of 3 points in the six first quarters so far this season. It goes to show you they still can put up points. It just happens later in the football game. Here's the interesting thing, Joe, as well. Both New Orleans and Arizona right now struggling. Again, below 500, 2-4 straight up this year. But there is still a sliver of hope for both of these teams because, of course, New Orleans plays in the NFC South, Arizona in the NFC West. Both of those divisions, Joe, two of three divisions in the NFL where every team, all four of them, are at 500 or worse. So both the Saints and the Cardinals, just one game out of a tie for first place if they can start making some things happen at this moment. All right, that does it for our Thursday night football preview. More football full circle is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oregon, a 6.5-point favorite, Joe Lisi, against UCLA. The total is up there, 71.5. Joe, these are two teams that can score the football. Oregon averaging 42 points per game, and they only scored three in their opening week. It shows you how much their offense has improved here in the last five games. UCLA, the 12th best scoring offense in the country, though, averaging 41.5 points per game. Joe, that total's at 71.5. Now, we do know there is some bad weather, some rain in the forecast expected for Saturday. Will that affect the offense, in your mind, of what we will see?
I'm up and down in terms of this matchup right now. You know, yeah. I don't know what to expect. Let me ask you, I mean, which team is perceived to be the best one in your opinion? Because I don't know. I think it's a coin flip, to be honest with you. I mean, when I look at both of these teams, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I'm curious to know what you think in terms of that right now.
Yeah, Joe, I think right now the perception is Oregon is the better team. The reason I say that is not only the 6.5-point spread that I think is too large this week against UCLA, you look also at the betting markets in the Pac-12. Oregon's the favorite right now to win this conference, and I know their path to doing so is a little bit easier. One, because they host UCLA on Saturday. That game is in Eugene, and as we have said multiple times now, the Ducks a 6.5-point favorite, and also their final tough test is they host Utah the second to last Saturday of the year. Again, host that game at home in Eugene, not in Rice-Eccles in Salt Lake, which is a difficult place to play. UCLA has already beaten Utah. UCLA has already beaten Washington. They have to play Oregon on the road, and they do finish off the year against USC. Yes, the game is in the Rose Bowl, but still, that's going to be a very competitive football game, the Battle of Los Angeles. It's not that stark of a home field advantage, at least probably based on what the crowd looks like. So that is why, Joe, I think Oregon is booked as the favorite, all of that told. But to be a plus 150 favorite when UCLA is the only unbeaten team in the conference, and yes, both teams are perfect so far in Pac-12 play, I think that gap is too wide. That gap would tell me, Joe, the market looks at Oregon as the better side, and that's reflected in this individual game on Saturday, a 6.5-point spread.
It's incredible because when I think about perception, right, and you just think of it, think about the luster for UCLA. Chip Kelly, 3 years ago, was thought about as the savior of the program, right? I mean, for each and every year, UCLA was, capped at the top of maybe the Pac-12 or in terms of win totals, you know, and they all they did was limp to the unders every year. And it wasn't until last year that they got over the hump. They were 8-4. They were one of the better teams in the conference. And now, in my opinion, they were poised to take the next level and the next step, right? But you have a first-year head coach and under-the-radar name in Dan Lanning, a quarterback that couldn't do anything on the plains in Auburn. Maybe he won one game against LSU, but outside of that, never really did anything to say that Bo Nix was an elite quarterback, right? And they're 6.5-point favorites. I mean, I'm baffled by that in terms of how the books and the public perceive Oregon as a whole, especially after they got boat raced by Georgia. I mean, it just really goes to show the way the betting market perceives certain teams, even from just a record standpoint, and they don't think about anything else. And that's why I asked your opinion about it, because I completely go the other way. I just think that games are won or lost in the trenches. That's where if you have a team that can run the football and shut down the run, especially in a tough environment, you're more likely than not to win ball games. And that's what UCLA can do. I don't think they're a glass house. I think Oregon is the glass house, especially when you look at both of those games against Utah last year with Mario Cristobal at the helm. So, again, I think that there's no doubt UCLA playing on the road in this matchup has to start fast. But even if they do fall behind, Ben, like they did last year, 14-0, they have the quarterback that could potentially carry them from behind as opposed to Bo Nix. I think if he falls behind just the way he did against Georgia, I think they're going to fold in this matchup.
Joe, I agree with you. Listen, Oregon has won 5 straight football games. They bounce back the next week after losing to Georgia, 49-3, with a 70-14 win against Eastern Washington, who is an FCS football program. BYU has shown us who the Cougars really are in the last 2 weeks, getting dominated by Notre Dame, at least physically, and this Notre Dame team is not good by any means, and then getting run out the building by Arkansas just a week ago. BYU has not covered in 5 straight games. Washington State, Joe, the other toughest game maybe on the schedule for Oregon. The Cougars did cover against Oregon. That game was in Pullman, though. And maybe that's the idea here, this game being in Eugene is that bump. And we know road Bo Nix versus home Bo Nix. We know what the splits are. This year, specifically at Oregon, not taking into account his 3 previous years on the plane in Auburn. This one, Joe, this year only 9 touchdown passes in Eugene to no interceptions. In games away from home, 3 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. So, yes, the game is at home. That is a true benefit for Bo Nix. But in the quarterback matchup as well, Joe, I give the edge to UCLA and Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, I do as well. Now, let me ask you this deeper question, because you know we talked about Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. If he has another dynamic road performance as an underdog, and let's say they do win this ballgame by double digits, and UCLA is undefeated after 8 weeks, is it him and Hendon Hooker along with C.J. Stroud in terms of the Heisman? I mean, because of the perception of Caleb Williams entering week 7, the fact that he lost to Utah last week, does that open up the door for West Coast love and West Coast appeal for DTR to potentially be a dark horse and steal the Heisman Trophy at the end of the year? I think it does, but I've seen him go now from 17-1 back to 35-1 and see Adrian Martinez have better odds is just mind-blowing to me.
150-1 was DTR before that Washington game just about 3 weeks ago now. Joe, there are updated regular season win totals on the FanDuel Sportsbook, not for many teams, just for some of the unbeaten schools left. 7 of the 9 unbeaten schools remaining, in fact, and UCLA has one as well. All of them are booked at 11.5 to make that perfect undefeated season. UCLA, the longest odds to hit the over, or the second longest price, I should say, to hit the over at +750. To be an undefeated side. That is what UCLA brings into this football game. And Joe, one final point here. We mentioned it. Oregon is the favorite to win the Pac-12, +150. USC has the second best price, +260. UCLA slots in at third at +310. We talked about this on the morning after, and you've been all over UCLA to win the Pac-12 literally all year long, even in the summer months, in the preseason. If UCLA pulls off the upset on Saturday in Autzen, will they and should they be the favorites to win the Pac-12?
I think they should. Yeah, there's no, there should be no reason why. I think they're the most complete team, and I think if UCLA, if they win on Saturday and USC and UCLA square off at the end of the year, I would make UCLA a 1.5 point favorite. I really believe they are the better team, and I think, you know what? As good as Caleb Williams has played, DTR is right there. One interception, if it, the other one was a 70-yard interception return in the last 30 seconds against Utah. So at the end of the day, he's playing flawless right now.
If you think UCLA can win outright, again, if you think UCLA can win outright and stay unblemished this year, there are two plus money places you must look. On that money line, of course, for the individual game on Saturday afternoon, plus 188. And you need to grab that plus 310 price right now because it will not be there come Sunday morning. It won't be. They will be the favorite side. Or if not the favorites, they'll be right there neck and neck with USC, rather, around a plus 150 number. Because of what the path then would be. They would be the only unbeaten team with one tough test remaining in the Pac-12 against USC. UCLA would have won as an underdog outright against their three toughest games at this point in the Pac-12. Washington, Utah, and Oregon. They would be the favorites in my estimation. So grab that number as well. All right, Joe, let's continue going around the country here. Pac-12, Big 12, a showdown in Stillwater. Oklahoma State, number 11 in the country, hosting number 20 Texas. And we have talked about how the markets love Texas. Well, the Longhorns did not cover last week as a 15.5-point home favorite against Iowa State, never really being within margin of that number, Joe. And yet somehow, some way, Texas, a 6.5-point favorite on the road in Stillwater against Oklahoma State, who, yes, lost last week. Probably coughed up that football game in some form or fashion against TCU in Fort Worth. But Oklahoma State, that's their only loss of the year, Joe. What did you make of that 6.5-point spread?
Yeah, it's you know, I understand why, because one, Texas plays Oklahoma State very well, you know, especially in Stillwater, picked up the victory a couple of years ago. Second, OSU has been completely gassed from a defensive perspective. They got pushed to the limit against Texas Tech. They won that ball game. Depending upon when you bet it, you got the cover if you laid 9.5. You lost if you laid the 10.5 right before kick. At the end of the day, they were out there for extended periods of time, and then had the game in hand last week, but wore down. And how did they wear down? They wore down in run support, which is a huge cause of concern going up against a physical offensive line of Texas. Bijan Robinson and obviously the rushing attack of the Longhorns, that's where they can eat in this matchup. So I am concerned. Spencer Sanders is banged up. If they go back to Gundy's son in this ball game, you're going to have inexperience at the quarterback position. And then obviously Oklahoma State's defense is going to have to carry through. That's a concern for me. Again, I have no opinion in terms of playing it, but if I did, it would have to be Texas.
Yeah, it's such a difficult game, Joe. Everything in your right mind should bring you to Oklahoma State. I think they can and should cover this number. That's a different equation on what if they do. Spencer Sanders, like last week, was banged up and did not practice. That is expected to be the case for this matchup against Texas. Plenty more on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle. So the Big 12 is a topic of conversation this weekend because of the showdown in Stillwater. Oklahoma State losing its first game of the year, both overall and in conference play last week, despite being up by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. TCU storms back, scoring 14 unanswered, forcing that extra session, a double overtime affair in Fort Worth. The Horned Frogs knock off the Pokes. Oklahoma State returns this weekend home to host number 20 Texas. And Joe, Texas again, a 6.5-point favorite in that game. But still, surprisingly to me, Joe, when you look at it, Texas has the best odds of winning the Big 12. They are the favorites at plus 155. They have two losses this year, one of them in conference play. TCU is the only remaining unbeaten team, both in conference and in those overall standings as well. And yet it's Texas, Joe, ahead of the Horned Frogs by 65 cents.
I don't think Texas is going to run the table. I think TCU will be there. I think TCU can knock off Texas. They did over the past couple of seasons. And at the end of the day, I mean, there's no doubt that Oklahoma State could step up this coming weekend. Again, they're another team like Alabama. You know, it's the market and the gamblers want to see Texas back on top. But again, I have to go back to that game against Texas Tech. You know, they had a 14-point lead and let it slip. That wasn't due to Quinn Ewers. That was due to their defense. So at the end of the day, they're playing with house money right now. They have absolutely no pressure outside, just a public perception. We'll see if they could do it, Ben. But at the end of the day, if Oak State's defense is there and shuts down Bijan Robinson, they could force some turnovers, in my opinion, against Quinn Ewers and pull this ball game out. But we'll see how it plays out at 3:30 in Stillwater.
It is fascinating, Joe, because although Texas has better odds to win the Big 12, the new college football playoff updated prices have just come out on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and Texas is 20-1 to make the CFP. TCU, less than half that number, plus 950. So the Horned Frogs, because of their unblemished record, have the better shot of making the college football playoff. It will come down to that November 12th meeting, perhaps, in Austin between these two Texas schools, the Horned Frogs and the Longhorns. But before then, Joe, TCU plays in its fourth straight ranked versus ranked matchups. Now, two of those teams are no longer ranked in Oklahoma and in Kansas, but still four straight weeks, Joe, where the team you lined up against was also in the top 25. TCU back at home this week in Fort Worth, a 3.5-point favorite, Joe, against Kansas State. It is number 8 TCU, number 17 Kansas. What is your approach for this game?
Yeah, my approach is to take the more consistent team and the more consistent quarterback, and to me, that's TCU. Kansas State has won three straight, like we talked about this morning, by 11 points per game, and we talked about how Adrian Martinez is leading that team on the ground. He has 9 rushing touchdowns, right? Deuce Vaughn, who had 18 last year, only has 3. They're not running the football the same way. They're getting more productivity out of the quarterback position than they were last year. Think about Skylar Thompson, right? Playing well, or at least starting at times for the Miami Dolphins. He only had 4 rushing touchdowns, basically under 100 yards rushing last year. That's the difference from this year with Martinez at the helm compared to last year. They're only averaging 158 yards through the air. So if TCU starts fast, I think it's going to be very difficult for Kansas State to win this ball game and play from behind, and that's why I give the edge to Duggan. I give the edge to the offensive playmakers for TCU. I think they win and cover this ball game fairly easily. Easy, because if they could start fast at home, I think it's lights out for Kansas State.
It's such an interesting matchup, Joe. The total's 54.5. TCU is the third best total offense and the third best scoring offense in the country, averaging more than 54 points, or excuse me, 54, averaging more than 45 points per game. TCU can score the football. We saw that on full display. And Max Duggan leading this Sonny Dykes offense. He has tons of wide receivers to throw the football to. And Kendre Miller, not bad in the backfield as it stands. But, Joe, what is fascinating here is Kansas State's defensive metrics. A very big bend but do not break type of defense. They're giving up more than 354 yards per game. But they're a top 15 scoring defense, only allowing 16.7 points per game. Joe, as you go through that list of the top 15, top 20 scoring defenses in the country, they are the only team within the top 20 that gives up more than 350 yards per game. The next closest is UCF at 339, but every other team gives up less than 310 yards per game. That's pretty crazy when you see where they are in terms of that metric. So they give up some yardage, and they give up 132 on the ground, but they do limit your ability to score the football. Now, that being said, that Max Duggan offense under Sonny Dykes is looking really, really good. So I think, Joe, TCU covers this game, probably leads us closer to an over because, frankly, TCU's defense not all that great. And, Joe, it's going to be a fascinating quarterback matchup because Adrian Martinez has been really good for Kansas State this year, running the football especially. But where his lack of ability is, maybe, Joe, in the passing game has you slightly concerned for K-State.
It does, because they haven't done it enough. Kansas State wins ball games when they dictate tempo, when they jump up and they utilize time of possession, sustain drives, and keep more explosive offenses on the sidelines, right? If they can't do that early, think of it that almost as a triple option attack. That's the way I equate Kansas State's offense, meaning obviously Army, Navy, and Air Force win ball games when they get the ball first. They go down the field, they take 8 minutes off the clock, and they score either a field goal or a touchdown, right? Where do they struggle in terms of more explosive games? When that offense, like Wake Forest, jumps up on Army 7-0, 14-0, and it's like we can't run the football anymore. We are out of our game plan. We're put into predictable third downs. That dials up blitz packages. That puts pressure on, obviously, the offensive line. And now in this situation, it's definitely going to put the pressure on Adrian Martinez because he really hasn't faced that up until this point. That's where I think the edge is for TCU, and it is mind-blowing because they had a defensive-minded head coach in Gary Patterson, and the defense was the one that slipped over the past couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, the defense was bottom 10 in the country in terms of yards given up, and that was with Gary Patterson for a good majority of the season before he was fired. When you look at the game log of Adrian Martinez, it is mind-boggling. K-State coming off of the bye. They beat Iowa State 10-9 2 weeks ago, not covering as a favorite, or actually they were the underdog in that football game, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get to those numbers in just a second. But Adrian Martinez has not thrown an interception this year, but he's only thrown 4 touchdowns. A touchdown pass in each of the last 4 games for Kansas State. But in 3 of those 4 games, he has run for at least 77 yards. And in 2 of those 4 games against Texas Tech and Oklahoma, he has ran for 148 against the Sooners and 171 against the Red Raiders. And in those 2 specifically, Joe, against Tech and OU, he combined for 7 rushing touchdowns. And yet the numbers through the passing game aren't all that crazy. He was 12-19 each of the past 2 games for K-State. 12-19 against Iowa State for 246 and a touchdown. 12-19 against Texas Tech for only .116 and a touchdown. It is going to be a huge quarterback matchup, Joe. I give the edge to Duggan, but Adrian Martinez will have something to say in this football game. All right, let's keep going around the country here, Joe. Alabama looking for that resolve in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night. And as the odds indicate, Joe, Alabama will be back in the win column against Mississippi State, despite the fact it's a top 25 tilt. The Tide are favored by 21 points. But what do you want to see, Joe, as it pertains to that spread that will inspire some confidence in you that the Tide is back where they need to be?
Well, one, can they run the football just the way they did last week against Tennessee, right? Because Miss State is pretty good against the run. And can they get pressure on Will Rogers just the way they did last year? If you watch this ball game last year, Will Rogers was under immense pressure from Will Anderson and the front 7 of Alabama. We really didn't see that consistently last week against Hendon Hooker. Why? Hendon Hooker is mobile. He buys time with his legs and obviously could break contain, right? Will Rogers is a prototypical dropout passer. He's going to sit back there, survey, and he's going to chuck it, right? They have to get into his face. I need to see that front 7 pressure him early, pressure him often, and record at least 4 or 5 sacks before I'm willing to say that Alabama is back in terms of being a national power in terms of top 5. Because that performance last week from a secondary perspective leaves you scratching your head and saying, is this the same team that we saw a few years ago in terms of the quarterback play and even the secondary play? We'll see how it plays out. They've won 14 straight. They should win and cover fairly easy Saturday night in Tuscaloosa.
Joe, I don't remember what the specific stat is, but I believe the 52 points Alabama allowed to Tennessee was the most points given up since before the 1950s. It's something crazy like that in terms of how good the defense has been and how good Alabama has been for such a long time there in Tuscaloosa. And that's the wonderful thing about our industry, Joe. It's not, oh, is this going to be a bounce-back spot for Alabama? Can the Tide get back into the win column? Obviously, they're a 3-touchdown favorite, but what do we need to see relative to expectation that will have Alabama truly back on course? Tennessee, by the way, plays UT Martin this weekend. They should be okay in that matchup before a big one next Saturday at home against the Kentucky Wildcats, and then the following Saturday against Georgia. All part of the reasons, Joe, that the SEC right now feels like it's up in the air, but it very well and realistically is going to be Georgia and Alabama in that SEC championship game once again. Joe, I mentioned the refreshed college football playoff odds that are now out and available on the FanDuel Sports Sportsbook. Georgia still leads the way. They're minus 750. Ohio State, minus 600. Two virtual locks at this moment. Clemson, I think, should have a stronger price, but they're now into minus money finally at minus 160. Alabama, though, Joe, still in minus money at minus 125. It's not till you get to the sixth spot where Tennessee is that a 3-1 number pops up on the Volunteers. So it is going to be difficult for Tennessee, even despite that win in Neyland Stadium, to make a run to the SEC championship game and to have a spot in the college football playoff. Joe, I mentioned Clemson, minus 160, right, to make the college football playoff, a minus 500 favorite to win the ACC. But the team they're taking on this weekend in Clemson, South Carolina, inside Death Valley, also has make college football playoff odds. That would be my alma mater, the Syracuse Orange, 20-1, Joe Lisi. But SU is a 13.5 point dog this week in Clemson. How do you approach that matchup?
Well, I mean, again, you know, Syracuse, if they win this ball game, Sean Tucker's going to have a huge day. Could that be a possibility? It's possible. But that front seven for Clemson's playing lights out, especially in the second half of that matchup against Jordan Travis and Florida State. Again, they're only allowing around 3.6 yards per carry going up against opposing offenses. They play very good third down defense, and I think it'll be a very difficult day for Syracuse. Keep in mind that Clemson's won four straight by 17 points per game, but the biggest factor, and we talked about it this morning, the third down conversion rate for DJU in that offense, significantly greater than where it was last year. Last year it was 34%. They're 50% this year. They're running it, they're throwing it, they're staying in manageable short third downs, and that puts a lot of pressure on front sevens. Even though Syracuse playing well, I think Clemson does cover this number Saturday in Death Valley.
I know that disappoints me.
I know it does.
The logic behind it is spot on. What I will say, though, Syracuse a top 10 defense across the board. The 8th best total defense in the country, the 6th best scoring defense. The total is 49.5. If SU keeps this game competitive and within margin, that's your opportunity to see this push to an under of 49 in a hook. We'll have plenty more on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back here on FFC. Just a couple more minutes left here on the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. A huge weekend of college football awaits. As we mentioned, Syracuse and Clemson, the only unbeaten versus unbeaten battle, Joe, that we have this Saturday. Now, we talked about this idea earlier. We are here at week 8 in just a week from Tuesday, or two Tuesdays. No, just two Tuesdays away. I had to do my math quickly looking at the calendar. We have the first unveiling of the college football playoff rankings. So that means that every conversation we start to have will have that wrinkle to it, right, Joe? The college football playoff odds associated with teams that are trying to make some noise this year in college football. Clemson, Joe, for the first time this year, finally in the minus money to reach the college football playoff. They're minus 160. They're also minus 500 to win the ACC. Even though Ohio State has better odds to make the college football playoff and Georgia a better price even than the Buckeyes, I would argue, Joe, Clemson has the best path to a college football playoff appearance. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I think the reason why they just cracked into, negative money is the fact that because they do it methodical, they do it ugly, and there's not a lot of big names on that team outside of DJU, and even him is under the radar in terms of the Heisman Trophy, right? At the end of the day, they do it with a team mentality. They have a dominant defense and a great red zone defense as well, and that could carry you in terms of the next level. They're running the football, and that's all it takes in terms of they've dominated. Dominated the ACC. We talked about it. 6 losses over the last 8 years.
And that will do it for us today on Football Full Circle. Great stuff, Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.